This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. Before that, though, we are talking about shopping, and that is the topic of our poll today. We're asking you, how did you shop during this holiday season? Tell us why. 43% of you have said you did not shop. Tell us
why.
Who are they?
It wasn't me. I obviously didn't take that in the poll.
It really doesn't matter as long as you receive the gifts.
Okay.
Isn't it better to give rather than receive, Philip?
Anyway, moving on.
So we are seeing other parts of the world, particularly in Europe, that are starting to see the return of restrictions to curb the spread of the Omicron variant. And this will undoubtedly impact the retail sector as we head into the new year. So far, Malaysia has not imposed any measures in response to Omicron. And retailers are seeing brisk business during this holiday season with the return of shoppers to brick and mortar stores by the hordes.
Now, the official statistics show that wholesale and retail sales for October rose 5.4% year on year, which is the first increase registered since the implementation of the full movement control order in June this year. Given that Christmas and Chinese New Year are separated by a mere 4 weeks, will the festive momentum see sustained uptrend for real retail activity, or will Omicron darken our door too?
So for some insights into retail sector trends as we head into the new year, we speak to Liana Yahya, Senior Manager of Customer Success and Thought Leadership at Nielsen IQ. Liana, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. So retail activity saw a deep dip in the third quarter following the tighter MCO restrictions during that period in Malaysia. How quickly has the pace of retail activity picked up as the economy reopened in the fourth quarter?
First of all, I'd like to thank BFM for inviting us here today regarding on how quickly has the pace of retail economy picked up since the economy reopened, right? So for fast-moving consumer goods specifically, retail activity has actually started to pick up since the end of quarter three. And of course, this was attributed by a number of factors, for example, like office workers returning to work, high rate of vaccinations that we see these days, the decline in daily COVID cases, which is really good news. So in one of the surveys that we did with our FMCG retailers, we found that more than 90% of the retailers said that they are seeing improvement in our sales, which is double what they claimed about a year ago. So this survey was only done a month ago. And when we check into our retail data, the data validates these claims because we do see sales are growing versus 2020. And right now it's almost at a pre-COVID level, which is a really good sign. And even categories that were negatively impacted by the pandemic, such as beverages or like personal care products, beauty products, they are seeing an upward trend because consumers right now, they're starting to go out more often because, you know, offices are reopening, right? So since this increase in footfalls happening within the offices and mall areas, so consumers are now visiting the stores like pharmacies and convenience stores more often because of the location specifically. So of course, in exception of any sudden MCOs, we do anticipate continuous recovery for many FMCG categories and many FMCG channels.
What are the retail trends observed in this year's year-end holiday season compared to the previous year?
Historically, festive season or holiday seasons, they are a really good boost for FMCG retail landscape. Every single year, festive sales peak, whether there is a pandemic or there wasn't, even this year itself. And so we do believe that it's going to be the same again this year, of course, in exception of any unforeseen MCO movement restrictions, because we do know how unpredictable this COVID situation can be in the past, right? But during like Christmas and Chinese New Year, we typically see like uptrends in sales for like chocolates and wine. And then when we get closer to Chinese New Year, we see growth in like beer, a lot of cooking stuff like cooking oil, cooking mixes, oyster sauce. And if we were to zoom out a little bit, 2020 and 2021 as a whole, of course, it's a little bit of an anomaly because sales for particular categories like beverages, they decline compared to the year before because of the movement restriction. So beverages is something that we usually buy in bulk during Chinese New Year because it's served to guests during gatherings, during open houses. So when we don't have that many guests, we don't purchase as much as well. So whether these kind of categories which decline and if they're going to recover, it really depends on the level of restrictions imposed by the government. So we do see the same thing happening for Raya as well, since we've been having Raya in MCO for the past 2 years. Yeah, so if COVID cases remain to be under control. And then if social distancing rules are pretty much fairly loose as they are right now, we can expect to see a recovery in festive sales.
Liana, are there other major factors affecting consumer consumption in the near term?
First of all, Omicron, we cannot actually look past this. If we do see a surge in cases, if we go into another lockdown, we'll probably see retail trends during MCO going to repeat itself, meaning more home cooking or that personal care beauty products going to go into decline. But this depends on the sudden lockdowns if we were to have it. Other than that, secondly, I would say the flood right now in Selangor and Pahang, this will likely impact the retail landscape. There is a combination of supply chain challenges with some areas being hard to get because of the flood. Some retail stores are being impacted. They're destroyed by the flood. And also like the mass purchasing we see for the flood victims. So products like diapers, cleaning products, biscuits, infant milk, you know, a lot of other necessities as well. So we have been seeing a lot of out-of-stock cases clearly nowadays anyway. Finally, I would say that the retail landscape is also going to be shaped by the consumer financial situation. Because right now, since the pandemic, a lot of Malaysians are already financially constrained and they're still recovering from the pandemic restrictions. So that right now, they're going to be a lot more cautious in how they spend. We even see this in our data because we see that premium price products have been seeing a decline in sales. But then we see mid-tier products, mid-tier pricing, they're actually growing. So our consumers are really highly selective in what they splurge on.
How have retailers adapted their marketing strategies to attract buyers? Which strategies have proven most successful and which sectors or players have managed this adaptation successfully?
Based on our data, throughout the pandemic, some retail formats do better than others. For example, mini markets, they grew massively. And this is mainly because of their convenience factor. They are your neighborhood stores. Because of the location, it allows the shoppers to go inside the shop and they didn't really need to spend that much time in the store. But then, unfortunately, we do see decline in like hypermarkets, pharmacies, convenience stores. Because hypermarkets, number one, it's due to their size. So consumers during the pandemic itself, they wanted to avoid like larger format stores. So they had to spend a lot of time in that store, right? And then like pharmacies, convenience stores, they are impacted because of their locations, mainly in malls, office areas. Footfalls were pretty low during the time, but we do see recovery back to normal right now, especially with people going back to offices and malls. Back to the question of your marketing strategy, right? A big one that we see right now is on product assortment. So consumer priorities, their preferences have shifted during the pandemic, and retailers have to adjust their offerings on the shelves. So they need to have the things on the shelf are the things that consumers want right now, not what worked a year ago or the year before. Top of that, there's the sanitization, health concern. So they made it loud and clear that they're following the SOPs, and some even invested in like high-tech purifying system to make sure that they go above and beyond. I would say one of the most important one is the part where they need to be available online. So this is a very important piece of the puzzle because Malaysians have become very savvy omni-shoppers, meaning they've been shopping at both online and brick-and-mortar stores. So retailers have to successfully execute an omni-channel strategy to provide both online shopping but also reliable home delivery services as well.
How do Malaysian retail trends in the year end compare with regional peers?
As a region, Asia is actually growing, but growth is not everywhere. Overall, yes, Asia FMCG retail has been growing at about rate of like 6.5% in 2020 and about 8% in 2019. And this is mainly led by countries like China, Singapore, which are heavily modern trade with a lot of strong e-commerce presence. But then in comparison to Malaysia, our retail growth in the same period is actually completely flat. It's about 0 to 1%. So it's not that surprising because we do have one of the strictest lockdown in Asia and our MCOs were close to 18 months. So it definitely took a toll on our consumer purchasing power. So Malaysia, we dipped in the start of COVID, but we are in a road to recovery mode. And then we also have other markets in the region which are the complete opposite, which are heavily relying on traditional trade, such as Thailand or Myanmar. They've been negatively impacted. They have yet to recover to their pre-pandemic level, and some are still seeing a decline right now.
So what is your outlook for the retail industry in 2022, and what kind of factors will impact your outlook going forward, though?
Nielsen IQ did a survey with our retailers, it kind of showed that the retailers are very optimistic about the recovery. And we do believe that if they are able to showcase value to the shoppers by selling products that meet the consumer's need, but also at an affordable price point, they'll be able to drive sales successfully. But of course, it also depends on their target market. And the reason why I mentioned the price point is because shoppers right now, they continue to be cost conscious because of the pandemic. Purchases are made based on its ability to deliver objective, not really on how to reflect premiumness. Because right now, shoppers at today's financial condition, they're a lot more careful to not overpay. But the thing is, we also see in our data that they are willing to trade up when it comes to their loved ones. So we're willing to pay when it comes to our kids, our parents, and even our pets, actually. And on top of that, of course, products that meet our health and safety standards or have good quality ingredient. Again, it has to be not as much premium, but more of a reasonable price point. We also see the rise in online shopping. It kind of made our consumers a lot more savvy, and this allows them to compare products, compare prices, feedbacks, promotions. We even have a lot more older generations who started use online shopping, e-commerce since the pandemic on top of the youth. And so at the end of the day, the whole landscape is of course going to be impacted by the pandemic. But we have seen how industry players were able to improve their customer experience, their omni-channel offerings and product innovation. These brands are able to sustain sales. So we do believe that if they were to continue to invest in these areas while providing like value for money, they'll be able to enjoy a share of the shopper's wallet.
Liana, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Liana Yahya, Senior Manager of Customer Success and Thought Leadership at Nielsen IQ, talking to us about some of the retail trends that we've seen this year, as well as things that retailers could think about to improve their customer service next year.
Yeah, I think, you know, what was interesting is actually the outcome of our poll. So we found out what the trends are, but in reality, people shopping. And of course, our poll is not reflective of the worldwide. But I think it's interesting that quite a lot of the people who voted, as many as 42% of y'all said you didn't shop at all. And I wonder, is it because there's just no mood, or is this a sense of where you just want to be cautious, you know, because the economy isn't great and you don't have the money to spend, so you rather save it?
Well, it's a function of confidence, right, and uncertainties. If there's a lot of uncertainties in where we are heading to, then I think people will want to reserve and put cash in their wallet. Well, you know, but you think about Malaysia's retail scene, it really is a very far cry from what you see in the US, where you see a lot of surplus cash, and that's driving retail substantially up to even pre-pandemic levels much higher. But you're not seeing that trend yet in Malaysia.
No, and actually, you know, retail, they have benefited somewhat from COVID-19 because what has emerged is a much more nimble industry. So what retailers in US have done is they have closed all the stores which were unnecessary, that were not contributing to the bottom line. They've become much leaner. They've also become much focused, much more focused in terms of what consumer wants, and also just basically providing them what they want when they need it as soon as possible, right? So I don't know whether Malaysian retailers have adjusted to this new normal.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And also, I think when things reopen, whether services will replace retail and products in the future as well, it's a big question mark.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.